It's time for a solid hour of business insights and strategies for success on Mind Your Business. And here's your host, the president and founder of Bottom Line Marketing, Yitzhak Saflis.
You're tuned to another edition of Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis right here on 77 WABC in the New York, New Jersey metro area and around the world at WABCBizRadio.com. This show, Mind Your Business, on the legendary 77 WABC, is all about you. Every single week, we seek out and interview C-level executives and business leaders from all types of industries and ask them the questions that are on your mind. Among the industries and professions that we've covered, sales, real estate, leadership, strategic planning, retail, communications, entrepreneurship, emerging technologies, time management, hiring, social media, corporate culture, and so much more. Stay tuned for tonight's edition of Mind Your Business, where you're certain to gain solid business advice and strategies to get you ahead in today's business world. First, some thank yous. I want to open by thanking Pesach Trapper, the show's producer, Meira Beitler, the content creator, Dina Student, who handles technical aspects of the show, and the great team at 77 WABC, Jose, Matt, Chris, Brian, Justin, and the entire team at Bottom Line Marketing Group that plays a great support role. Special thank you to some recent guests, Jason Robinson, Director of Marketing at UPS. That was a great show. Again, all previous episodes are available by going to WABCBizRadio.com, WABCBizRadio.com. You could hear the interview we had with Joe Hart, President and CEO of Dale Carnegie Training, Dr. Adrian Boise, Chief Experience Officer at the Cleveland Clinic, Jeffrey Hazlett, Steven Sadoff, Captain Sully Sullenberger, so many others. Great interviews. They're all available by going to WABCBizRadio.com. Also, a special thank you. We recently had Todd Buchholz, the former White House Director of Economic Policy under George H.W. Bush. Bush won for the millennials out there. His newest book, The Price of Prosperity, Why Rich Nations Fail and How to Renew Them, that was covered in detail. Great interview, great sense of humor. And again, that's also available by going to WABCBizRadio.com. Now we get to tonight's guest. Oh, I've wanted to get him for a while, and we finally have him this evening. Shep Hyken. Shep is a customer service expert, professional speaker, and best-selling author. He is the Chief Amazement Officer at Shepherd Presentations. He has worked with hundreds of clients. I'll name a few: American Airlines, AT&T, American Express. If you're not familiar with those, I'm surprised you own a radio. He is the author of multiple New York Times and Wall Street Journal bestsellers. His most recent book, which we're going to talk about this evening, Amaze Every Customer Every Time, 52 Tools for Delivering the Most Amazing Customer Service on the Planet. And I want to mention, he was kind enough, I am holding in my hands an autographed copy, and it's going to go to one lucky winner. All you have to do is send a text to 66866 and put in the word bottom line as one word. 66866, put in the word bottom line, one word, and you automatically enter to win it. If you're not that lucky winner, no worries. It's available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble. Again, amaze every customer every time. Worth every penny. Therefore, we encourage our listeners to stay tuned for tonight's edition of Mind Your Business, where we're going to cover creating the ultimate customer experience, understanding your customer's needs, creating a customer-focused operation. With that intro, we give a very warm welcome to Shep Hyken. Shep, thank you for joining me.
Thanks for having me. And you've got amazing guests. I'm in some pretty strong company. I'm honored, flattered, and it's a moment of magic for me.
And we're going to get to that.
We'll talk about that.
Oh, we certainly are. And I got to tell you, 60 minutes is not going to be enough time. Somehow we'll try to get it all in. This is going to be one amazing. And I encourage in the audience, there's many, many entrepreneurs, sole proprietors, small business owners, medium-sized business owners. Get your friends to tune in, because this is one show that you can't afford to miss, because customer service is what is the cornerstone of any successful business. And tonight you're going to learn more than a thing or two, more than 52 things. Oh, man, we're going to cover a lot. Let me jump right in. Let's start with the basic fundamental question, and I guess for those that just don't get it, and I would say you'll pull your hair out, but I know how you look, Shep, so.
I did that. I already did pull my hair out. So.
Why is it so important to deliver an amazing customer experience?
Well, and I know we have solo entrepreneurs, we have Fortune 100 people listening to the show. And it doesn't matter what the size of your business is, how big it is, what industry you're in. If the one weapon that you have, that's probably the most powerful weapon, is the concept of delivering a great service experience. Because there is a competitor for virtually every business who sells whatever it is that you sell, who tries to price competitively with you. And the way you're going to win is through the experience that you give them.
Now, let's talk about a brand promise. How important is it for a company to have one, and obviously, and then to deliver on it?
So there's different definitions of a brand promise, and one of my favorites is basically a brand promise is a promise that is delivered. And typically, it's not focused on just customer service. And some brand promises I've seen are more taglines and hype. But I love what I call to create a mantra. It's a one sentence or even just a few words that describe what it is you want your customer to experience. My favorite one to talk about is the Ritz-Carlton. They've done a masterful job. They actually call their brand promise, if you will, a credo. And it is something that when you come to work there, you understand this one sentence, 9 words long, and it goes like this. We're ladies and gentlemen serving ladies and gentlemen. And you come to work there, you get it, and then they train you to it. And if you're a guest and you hear this, you go, you know what? Yeah, that's exactly the way I experience the Ritz-Carlton. And every company is capable of developing their own type of brand promise, if you will, or mantra, as I like to call it. Keep it easy, keep it simple, make it memorable for the people who work there so they'll memorize it and they'll work toward delivering it.
Now, on that note, I want to give a special thank you to Jeffrey Hazlett, who had invited me to the C-Suite conference, the one that took place a couple of months back in San Francisco. That's where I had the honor to hear Shep and be in the audience and to, I'll say, eat out of your palm, basically.
Well, thank you. And I'll say thank you to Jeffrey also, because that is an amazing event, that C-Suite Network. And if you qualify and have a chance to attend that, I think, you know, you can't afford to miss it.
Yes, and there are a couple coming up. There's one in New York coming up and then in San Francisco. And again, the listeners, we will keep you updated on those conferences as we get closer to them. Now, at that event, if I may, you talked about how you love ice cream. And how a I also do, so I remembered what you talked about. But you had a great way of pointing out how a certain company kind of tracked you and then understood and identified you as a dream client. Maybe you could we discuss that?
Yeah, you know, I was asked to speak to a fairly high-level group of people, so I wanted to talk about a trend that's very strong, and that is the concept of data analytics. The data that we collect on different people, different demographics, to be able to determine what products we should come out, what's hot, what's not, if pricing's working, all kinds of different questions. But I took it down to the personal level that I call it micro. You know, there's big data, now there's micro data. And if a company is smart, they will track my buying patterns. And here's what I was talking about in that particular situation. The company the place that I like to go and buy my ice cream knows me because, you know, I've got my frequent flyer, or not frequent flyer, mm-hmm. my frequent ice cream card.
Yep.
They punch the card. You know, I signed up for it. They have my email address. They can track me on social media. They know when I mention them. And I love taking pictures of my food. So I mention, hey, I had a great, you know, here's my banana split. Here's my root beer float. And here's the interesting thing. There's a pattern there. A couple of things. With the analytics that are available, they can determine that, number one, I don't buy ice cream in the wintertime. As a matter of fact, they seldom will see me buy ice cream during the week, but on the weekends, it's always in the summer when the temperature is at least 82 degrees or higher. That's right. Temperature plays a factor in the data analytics because and this is, by the way, why IBM bought the Weather Company, which other than the Weather Channel, which the Weather Company still owns, they sold every other asset because that data is relevant to the buying patterns
Amazing.
Of people. So these people know I buy when it's 82 degrees. They know I only eat on Friday and Saturday nights because that's the only time I ever post about my ice cream experiences. And if they were to send information to me about a great sale on ice cream on a Tuesday morning in the middle of winter, they would be wasting their time. But furthermore, if they gave me a great promotion on a Friday evening, say, hey, it's a hot day in St. Louis, which is, by the way, where I live,
yeah.
Enjoy an ice cream, 50% off, and bring a friend and we'll give them an ice cream cone for free. You know, maybe that's an exaggeration, but that's a great promotion. And then this great promotion, I get to the ice cream store and there's some young person behind the counter who doesn't understand the concept of good customer service and blows the experience.
Mm.
And that's why all of the marketing, all the data that you collect, all the effort that you create to get somebody to your store falls apart if the people don't deliver on the service side of it.
Wow. In your most recent book, Amaze Every Customer Every Time, which of course is available Barnes & Noble, Amazon, bookstores nationwide, you talk about the five tactical areas of customer amazement. I'll list them off: leadership, culture, one-on-one, competitive edge, and community. Could we address each one?
Sure. Well, leadership is people think, well, that's because if you're a leader, you need to read this. No, everybody can be a leader when it comes to customer service. As a matter of fact, there's 52 tools in the book, and you can look at it as, hey, 52 weeks, work on one a week. And the first simple tool is to act like an owner. Some 18-year-old kid came up to me after one of my speeches, and he said, I'm so proud of what happened the other night. I want to share it with you. And he worked at a pizza restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
He said, one of the guests at a restaurant thought that I was the owner. And they even said, are you the owner? And they asked him that, and he goes, no, why would you ask? And their response was, you just seem to be so interested in taking care of us. We were amazed at how great you are at what you do. And at that moment, he realized he wanted every one of his customers or guests to think that he was that good, that he was, you know, the owner or the owner's kid. And he says, that's how good I want to be. A couple of things were happening. Number one, the owner did, in fact, empower him to be that good and taught him to be that good.
Amazing.
And trusted this kid to do a great job. And in turn, that kid said, I want to be like that person. So a couple of things. You step up, you be a leader, and I believe that everybody, regardless of their title, regardless of their position, regardless of what they were hired to do, can be the person that other people in the company say, yeah, that's a role model for customer service. That's a leader. That's why everyone can be a leader. And a lot of the tools in the chapter tie to both leadership and to, you know, frontline and even behind the scenes employees who have internal customers. But it's all about stepping up and being great at what you do.
Mm. Now, you talk about, and actually on the cover of your book, you have a toolbox that has a little Ace logo in the corner, Ace Hardware.
Yes.
And
is, hence the tools, 52 tools.
But you identified Ace, yes.
Yeah, why Ace? You know, it's a really great story. I wanted to find a company that I could use as a role model throughout a book. My book prior to that, The Amazement Revolution, had 50 interviews with 50 different companies, and I took seven different lessons, and I found seven companies to represent each of the lessons, and I found one company that represented all of them. I said, wouldn't it be cool to just write about one company? Now, the book's not about Ace,
right,
but it uses Ace as a role model, and for this reason. Number one, Ace is a recognizable brand.
Right.
People don't think of them as a rock star in customer service like you might a Ritz-Carlton or a Nordstrom or a Lexus or an Amazon, one of these big brands. But the reality of it is, they're amazing. 10 years in a row, they won the J.D. Power Award of Excellence. When I wrote the book, it was just 7 or 8 years. So they've won now 10 years in a row. They beat the big guy, the big box store. They have the stiffest, toughest, biggest, baddest competition. And the point of this is that when you're when you have any competition, but especially if you're David versus Goliath, if you're the little guy who's got to compete against, you know, a huge store that's got lots of selection and even lower prices, how do you do it? Their secret weapon is a brand of service that they have called helpful service, not just good service, which, by the way, you get good service at all those big box stores. People
right.
come, you know, a customer walks in, there are employees that greet you, they're nice, they tell you where things can be found. But you go to an Ace Hardware store and it's bumped up a notch. That's why they call themselves the helpful hardware place. And just real quick, I'll tell you a quick story that's
sure.
fun. when I was first considering ACE, I said, give me the most compelling reason why you're the right company to write about. And they gave me an article. And the joke was, if I walked out there on the street and I said, give me the top 10 brands in customer service, do you think ACE would be listed among them? Do you think the average person would say ACE Hardware? And all of the executives said, absolutely, absolutely. Well, of course, they love their own, you know, they drink their own Kool-Aid and they love what they do. But Business Week had an article with the top 25 brands that were represented on customer service. The top 25, ACE ranked number 10. They actually beat out one of my favorite companies I've already mentioned, the Ritz-Carlton.
Wow.
The Ritz was number 12.
Wow.
I'm thinking, okay, you've got my attention.
Yeah. Wow.
Great company. Great company.
Unbelievable. Well, the voice that you hear is that of Shep Hyken, Chief Amazement Officer at Shepherd Presentations. His most recent book, Amaze Every Customer Every Time. Actually, he was gracious enough to have it over here. The one lucky listener is going to win a free autographed copy. All you have to do is send a text to 66866, put in the word bottom line as one word, and you're automatically entered to win the book. Again, send a text to 66866, put in the word bottom line as one word, and you're automatically be entered. And everyone else, no worries. The book is available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and at bookstores nationwide. We're going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned.
Did you know that dissatisfied employees cost American businesses over $300 billion each year? Now there's a solution. TeamAhead.co. TeamAhead is a complete solution to help companies of all sizes build a positive corporate culture. TeamAhead helps today's thought leaders make their vision a legacy. Team Ahead's comprehensive approach helps you communicate your vision and engage your employees through many channels, including print, digital, sweepstakes, video, events, social media, and a custom website. Call 800-890-1807, extension 3505 to find out how Team Ahead can transform your business's corporate culture, leading to greater productivity and revenue. Call toll-free 800-890-1807, extension 3505, or visit teamahead.co. Team Ahead will enhance your workplace productivity, boost morale, and successfully communicate your vision. Don't let your company's strongest asset be its biggest liability. Call toll-free 800-890-1807, extension 3505, or visit teamahead.co to fuel your winning workplace today.
And we're back. Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saftless right here on 77 WABC in the New York, New Jersey metro area and around the world at WABCBizRadio.com. I'll mention to the listeners, again, you could follow me on the various forms of social media. Of course, all the main ones, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn. Yitzhak Saftless, Yitzhoksaftlas. And the best benefit is that you'll get to know who our upcoming guests are. That's where we push it out. In addition, we also push out these little clips every once in a while of great quotable quotes from many of our guests that appeared not over the years yet, but we are already into year two. So we have already over 52 episodes that have gone out. And again, the list of incredible guests. From Steven Sadoff, former CEO of Saks Fifth Avenue, Jeffrey Hazlett, Sylvia DiGisto, Captain Sully Sullenberger, David Yale, the COO of Just Born, and so many others. So many words of wisdom from them are on the social media feed. And, of course, as we always mention, all the previous episodes are available by going to WABCBizRadio.com, WABCBizRadio.com. My guest this evening, Shep Hyken, the Chief Amazement Officer at Shepherd Presentations. By the way, before we go further, how could someone get in touch with your company, Shep?
Easy. Just go to my website, hyken.com, H-Y-K-E-N.com.
Fantastic. And, of course, his book, Amaze Every Customer Every Time, is available at Barnes & Noble, Amazon, and bookstores nationwide. Now, when you spoke in San Francisco, and I was in the audience, you talked about moments of truth, moments of magic, or, oy vey, moments of misery. Let's take it away.
Oy vey, moments of misery. So that's great. So way back in the 1980s, a gentleman named Jan Carlson took over Scandinavian Airlines. It might have even been just before 1980. The airline was not doing well, losing millions of dollars, and he turned it around by gathering all of the employees together in every city they had a presence, and they went into an airplane hangar, and he gave a little speech, and he talked about how we need to manage the moments of truth in business. And he defined the moment of truth as any time that customer comes into contact with any aspect of a business, they form an impression. And his customer, of course, was a passenger at an airline. And it was primarily the people-to-people contact that he talked about. He said, you know, a passenger is going to make a reservation. They're going to check their bags at the curb. They're going to check it at the ticket counter and on and on. And he said, every one of those moments of truth can go one of two ways. It can be good and they can be bad. Now, I believe there's a third way, and that is they can be just okay. They can be average. Okay. So the bad ones I call moments of misery, as you refer to it, oy vey. And the ones that are in the middle, average, are satisfactory. I call those moments of mediocrity. And by the way, this is where most companies reside, is in mediocrity and average. They try to create a satisfied customer. But the best companies focus on something a little bit better than that, and that is to create that moment of magic. And these are fun terms, but let's make it real easy. A moment of magic isn't blow me away, over the top, above and beyond levels of service. It is simply above average service. And sometimes it's just a little bit above average. And the best companies focus on training their people to have the right skills, the right attitudes, the right, you know, they hire with the right personalities, but they basically get people that are going to perform above average. And when you have a consistent and predictable experience, every time you interact with a company that's always even just the tiniest bit above average, you're in that zone of what I call amazement, because that's what amazing companies do, consistently a little better. And once in a while, there will be a problem, a confrontation, an issue that gets to be resolved. That's when you get to go above and beyond. That's when, if it's a moment of misery, you get to prove the value that, hey, we stand behind what we say. But you can't wait for those, you know, opportune moments to happen, because many times they are focused around something negative. What you want is just consistently day in and day out to try to achieve above average levels of service.
Now, on that point, let's say, unfortunately, a company is having, whether it's once or too often, that moment of misery. Can it be turned around, or is it all lost if they had such
sure
a misery?
No, it's never all lost, because, by the way, when the customer complains and there really is a legitimate problem that is the company's fault, it's great feedback, and it's, and you know, some would say it's a gift, because it's your opportunity to step in, save the day, turn it around, and most important, you're not just fixing the problem, you're restoring the customer's confidence. And I have a little five-step process that
sure,
any situation can probably use this, and it will turn around most situations, not all of them.
Okay.
But number one, somebody comes to you with a problem, you acknowledge, like, oh, man, I'm sorry that's happened. I would actually feel bad myself if that happened to me. And that's number one. I actually did two steps right there. I acknowledged and apologized. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter if you acknowledge it first or apologize, but you heard me say, I'm really sorry that happened. Now, it wasn't my fault that it happened. I may not have been at work that day. It may have been a completely different, you know, department. It could be on the other side of the world, but I got the call. So I acknowledge it. I apologize. And then I discuss what the resolution is going to be. So I fix it. I do it with the right attitude, which is a positive one and one that is of ownership. I don't get defensive and go, hey, what are you yelling at me for? I wasn't here the day that happened. You know,
right.
That's not what the customer
right.
wants to hear.
Right.
And then finally, you do it fast, with urgency. So acknowledge, apologize, fix it, attitude, urgency. Five simple steps. And when you do those effectively and you resolve the problem, you're also probably restoring the confidence. It's that attitude and urgency that helps restore the confidence.
I want to remind the customers, the listeners, hi, you see that, that Shep was gracious enough. Their one lucky winner is going to win a autographed copy of Amaze Every Customer Every Time, 52 Tools for Delivering the Most Amazing Customer Service on the Planet. All you have to do is send a text to 66866 and put in the word bottom line as one word, bottom line. Send it over to 66866, and you're automatically entered to win this free book. And if you're not the lucky winner, you'll still be a lucky winner by buying the book. You can go to Barnes & Noble, Amazon, bookstores nationwide. Amaze Every Customer Every Time. Shep, if we can, Let's talk about your taxi cab ride in Texas. That's a great story.
Taxi cab driver in Texas.
Yep.
You know, and while you're talking about sharing the book and where to buy the book, if you go to the website that we mentioned earlier, hiking.com, there's a video on there. You just click on the video or go to my YouTube channel.
Right.
Just go to youtube.com, Shep Hiking. The taxi cab driver is there, and it's in front of an audience of, I don't know, 1,500, 1,800 people, big audience. It's got all the funny bits in it. But I'll give you the story.
Okay.
And by the way, if you love this content, there's 500 videos on my YouTube channel that are all about service. There, if you go to customerservicearticles.com, you get hundreds of articles.
Amazing.
But here's the point.
Okay.
The cab driver, I met this guy in Dallas, Texas, and he's a typical cab driver. You know, he kind of looks like a cab driver. Actually, he looked like his hair was messed up and he needed to shave a little bit, but it was a really, really hot day.
Okay.
And he gets out of the car to help me with my bags. And I looked at this guy, and when I looked at him, I thought, oh, man, look at this guy. The inside of his taxi cab is going to be dirty. There's no air conditioning, and it was a really, really hot day. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, you know, what's this ride going to be like? Well, he very deep Texan-accented voice said, and with a big smile, I'll take care of your bags. Hop in the car. It's nice and cool. And he was right. And he takes care of my bags. I put them in the trunk, and he gets into the front seat. He turned around, picked up a dish of candy off the front seat that he had, offered me a piece of candy. Mm-hmm. He offered me a soda. He had a little bucket with ice in it with sodas. He had newspapers, all this at no extra charge.
Wow.
And he said that it was the same fee that any other cab driver would charge, a flat rate of $22.
Right.
Thinking 52 tools.
Right.
$22 plus right. I gave him a big tip at the right. end. But we got on the highway, and he started talking to me, you know, what do you do for a living? And, you know, he's kind of building a little rapport, and then he asked me if I wanted to see a fountain. And I thought he was a little nuts, why would a guy want to show me a fountain? But he described it to me, and I'd seen pictures of it, and I said, go ahead, show me the fountain. So we get to the fountain, and he's so excited, and it's this famous statue of these horses that are running across water. It really is famous, and he's going on and on about it, and we're eventually back on the highway, and he asked for my business card. And I gave him my card. He said he collects cards. And then he gave me his. And he told me that if I called him before I got to Dallas the next time, he would pick me up at the airport, treat me like a limousine driver, come inside, but charge me that same flat $22 rate. I said, sure, thanks. And I thought nothing of it. We got to the airport. It's $22. Give him a big, big, big tip.
Right.
And that's a great story, but it doesn't end there. What was cool about it is, as I got to know Frank, because every time I would go back to Dallas until he finally retired, he would pick me up and take me around. As I got to know him, I got to understand his thinking. The average cab driver back in when he started was making about $20,000 a year, 6 day a week,
wow.
12-hour shifts.
Oh,
okay, that's a lot of hours.
Yeah.
Not a lot of money.
No.
A lot of it was sitting around waiting in a parking lot at the airport for 2 to 3 hours for him to finally be able to advance to get hopefully a fare, or you sat outside of a hotel. And I got lucky that day because he had just dropped off one of his regular customers, and he was picking up another one at the airport. He saw me with my bags, and he said, this guy's going to the airport. I'll take him. And little did he know that I would become another one of his loyal customers, but I'd talk about him for the rest of my
life. Right,
because he's amazing. But so he would pick me up and take me around. And I found out this guy, the newspapers, by the way, he got free at hotels that had leftover newspapers that the guests didn't use. He'd go to the store and he'd load up on some sodas that cost him about maybe 25 cents. And he said, as we got to know each other, he said, you know, I give away a soda and I increase my average tip by over $2.
Love
now, that's
it.
A good
Love
margin,
it.
You know, and the candy cost nothing. The to see the fountain really didn't cost them hardly anything at all other than a little bit of time. But the point of that is sometimes giving a little bit of time, a little extra effort in the form of time is what it takes to, you know, engage a customer to a level where they're endeared to you and want to have you, you know, do business with them again and recommend, you know, this guy to all my friends whenever I go back. I mean, that's what was happening. But the coolest part of the story, which I saved to now, the very end, is when I was, after this first trip, back in my office,
mm-hmm.
I opened up my mail about 3 or 4 days after the trip, and there was a thank you note from the cab driver with another business card.
Wow.
A handwritten thank you note. I have it framed and on my wall because I've never received a thank you note from a cab driver. It is the perfect example of what just nails customer loyalty. It's like, this is unexpected. It's memorable. Sure, thank you notes are nice and appreciated, but from a cab driver, unbelievable. And then every Christmas, around Christmas time, Hanukkah time, whatever. I would get a holiday card from this guy.
Amazing.
And this guy, yeah, amazing. It's amazing.
Wow. What a great story. What a great takeaway.
That's why I say, wow.
Yeah,
from
a cab driver.
Thinking about it.
A cab driver.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I don't know. You know, would a New York cab driver take the time to write a thank you note?
One second. I don't want to lose my listeners here.
Of course. Actually, I've had some amazing cab drivers in New York. I mean, some of them just do the job of a cab driver. I had one guy, I jumped in the cab, and the guy started telling me jokes, joke after joke. And then he said, hey, I'm going to be on TV. He was on Good Morning America telling jokes.
For crying out loud, man. Wow. How do you find them?
I got lucky. You know, every once in a while you get lucky.
Yeah. So,
you never know. Oh, you travel enough, you'll get lucky once in a while.
Well, this evening we're very lucky. We have Shep Hyken on the line. He wrote the book, Amaze Every Customer Every Time, and he is the Chief Amazement Officer at Shepherd Presentations. And in fact, again, he was very gracious. One lucky winner is going to win a copy of his book, an autographed copy of Amaze Every Customer Every Time. I mean, this is really a must-read. And as the listeners are hearing, this is not just a must-read for an owner, for any C-level executive within a company. This is really a if you go to work, and that's all of us, you have a job. This book is for you. Amaze Every Customer Every Time. And again, one lucky winner is going to win it by sending. All you have to do is send a text to 66866, put in the word bottom line, and you're automatically entered. You will automatically be entered to win this book, Amaze Every Customer Every Time, 52 Tools for Delivering the Most Amazing Customer Service on the Planet. And for everyone else, the book is available, Barnes & Noble, Amazon, and at bookstores nationwide. We're going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned.
Your company website is crucial to your success, providing information about your company to the entire world. Was your website recently updated? Is it mobile-friendly? And does it have the 2016 look? Well, look no further than WebsiteWithBrains.com, the complete website solution. Call Website with Brains today at 718-412-3500. That's 718-412-3500. Or visit WebsiteWithBrains.com. The experienced team at Website with Brains will plan, write, design, and program a stunning and informative website that combines simplicity and flexibility. Best of all, Website with Brains can have your new website up and running within 4 to 6 weeks. Get ready to look great online and take your business to the next level. See some of the attractive, user-friendly sites built by Website with Brains by visiting WebsiteWithBrains.com. Then give Website with Brains a call at 718-412-3500. That's 718-412-3500.
And we're back. Mind Your Business with Yisroch Saftless right here on 77 WABC and around the world at WABCBizRadio.com. And again, on the website also, I just want to mention that all our previous guests, all the previous episodes are available. Again, free of charge. You can go listen to them. In fact, some of the guests that we had live in studio, we also had a video made. And there's a highlight clips of at least, I think, 10 to 15 of the shows. It's available by going to WABCBizRadio.com. Well, my guest this evening, Shep Hyken, he wrote the book, Amaze Every Customer Every Time. And again, just want to remind the audience, you could win. There's one copy. One lucky winner is going to win an autographed copy. All you have to do is send a text to 66866, put in the word bottom line as one word, send it over to 66866, and you're automatically entered to win. For everyone else, you'll still be lucky by buying a copy. It's available at Barnes & Noble, Amazon, and at bookstores nationwide. Let's jump into the question that's on everyone's mind, the role of social media in regards to customer experience.
This is a fun one.
Oh, yeah.
where do you want to start?
I know. And we only got around 20, 25 minutes left. Oh, man.
Well, social media makes customer service, and my friend Jay Bear came up with this line, who, by the way, you should get on the show.
Great. I'm going to
Jay Bear
down.
Says social media makes customer service a spectator sport.
What a great line. Can you repeat that?
Social media makes customer service a spectator sport, and that comes to us.
How brilliant.
Compliments to Jay Bear.
Wow.
Because think about it. What happens is if you are a customer – by the way, there's two things that are happening today. Number one, customers who don't get the satisfaction that they want go social. So they'll complain on Twitter, Facebook, Yelp, et cetera, because they first tried the company and didn't get the resolution. Maybe it's that somebody didn't respond to them, but maybe they just didn't get the answer that they wanted. So now it's social. And a company has the opportunity to, you know, deal with that rant now in public.
Mm-hmm.
However, many times today, customers are now just going straight to social, not just with a complaint, but I need a problem solved. I've got a new software program. I got a question about how do I get this function to work? Rather than even call their support line, I just go straight to social media and I tweet direct to the company with a message saying, please help me figure out how to get this function to work. And many times I may even just direct message them, but they're going social right away.
Right.
So, but most of us want to hear about how to deal with the former rather than the latter, which is what happens when our customer decides to go social on us, and how do we deal with that? So anything specific you want to talk about? Because we can go on a lot longer than 25 minutes.
Yes. Well, the truth is your answer pretty much covered it, obviously, in a general way. But everyone, all the listeners realize it. It's pretty obvious to most people. Some people still don't get it. But that line from Jay Bear, oh, man.
It raises the game, if
yes.
you think about it, because now you have to be good enough to recognize, and your employees need to know, hey, if you don't do a good job and somebody decides to socialize their bad experience and we find out we can track it to somebody specifically not doing their job, I mean, that's going to be a big issue. So we raise the stakes for everybody involved on taking care of the customer. That's number one. Number two, and I think it's important to share, what do you do if this happens?
Right.
You definitely respond. You have to respond. And by the way, I recommend, just as you want to respond to a phone call that's coming in as quickly as possible, you want to respond socially as quickly as possible. So go out there and make a comment. And again, you can use my 5-step process.
Right.
Hey, I'm really sorry this happened. I would be upset too. And now here's the resolution. You don't do this in public. You say, can we go offline? Can you direct message me your information? Or, you know, because of the information we have, we're going to reach out to you. And you directly contact them. You move into either a phone or maybe a direct message channel, and then you deal with it. You hopefully resolve it, and then you come back on and you say, thanks for letting me take care of you. You see, customers who are thinking about using you or doing business with you are looking at these reviews. They don't want to see somebody, a company that's getting lots of low marks. But if they see somebody that has a decent satisfaction score, and every once in a while they see this complaint, and then they see that every one of those complaints were managed by the company, then they'll say, you know what, I think these people are good people. They stand behind the problems that they have them. Most people are happy with them. Let's do business with them.
That's correct. And it comes back to what we talked about before. It's converting the moment of misery into a moment of magic.
Right. And restoring confidence.
Yeah.
And publicly, you restore confidence not just in that customer, but you create confidence in other customers
right.
as well.
Right. Wow. Amazing tips. Let's move on to something that seems so simple, but it's so profound. How important is it to use a customer's name in your interaction with them?
So that's creating the personalized experience. And I'll go way back to the very first book I wrote way, way, way long time ago, called Moments of Magic. And one of the concepts was to personalize the experience. And you use somebody's name as a first step in personalizing it. But by the way, if you're using it because you are told to use it and it's part of a script, insert person's name here, that is insincere, and you're not going to be warming up to the customer. But if you are sincere, using the name the right way, and getting, you know, I actually think that using the name is a start to building rapport, and you could take it to the next level if you're talking to somebody and you happen to notice they've got, you know, a Yankees hat on, you might say, oh, so you're a big Yankees fan. Did you see that game last night, or did you hear about the game last night? And that's, you know, now you're taking that whole rapport thing to another level. But you can start with the person's name.
You know, years ago, I heard a conference for fundraisers, and I apologize, I know I'm on the air, but I don't recall the name of the presenter. He mentioned that in a when you're dealing with a donor, and if you mention their name, I forgot exactly how he did it, but something along the lines that if you mention their name three times, they're X amount more likely to be a donor for X amount of years. Like he had a mathematical equation to this. It was amazing. Yeah.
Yep. And you can track it. You know, you track it. That's the result. You know, treat people right. There's all kinds of stats and facts that prove that, you know, treating people right versus, you know, an average experience versus somebody that's indifferent. I mean, all of these, there's stats and facts to support that service doesn't cost. It pays. To train somebody right is an investment that pays off a dividend.
Mm. Now let's talk a little bit about this is actually a special shout out to Jeffrey Hazlett, who got me in touch with Shep Hyken. In the interview that you had about your book on C-Suite TV, you had a great line. Even if you're national or global in scale, you can still be local in feel.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you can explain.
Yeah, and that is one of, you know, we go back to the Amaze Every Customer Every Time book. One of the 52 tools is to do local well, and that's part of the community. So I know, and we use Ace Hardware as an example there. Mm-hmm. You've got Ace Hardware's, and actually you've got about 40, I'm going to say somewhere probably around 4,500 Ace Hardware stores around the world in 70 countries, owned by 3,500 different owners. That's a lot of stores. And if you go to the store in New York where you are versus, you know, Tucson, Arizona, chances are in the middle of the winter, you're not going to find a snow shovel in Tucson, but you'll probably find a snow shovel up in New York area.
Right.
And the point there is they've localized. Sure, there's certain merchandise that they will sell in all of their stores,
right,
but they recognize their local market. You know, look at your grocery stores. You might have a nice-sized grocery store chain in your area, and depending upon what neighborhood they're in, they might cover and carry other types of food. I mean, if I'm in a Hispanic neighborhood, I might have, you know, more of that type of ingredient that I might, if I'm just in a typical general, you know, where there's, you know, just a very general population.
Correct.
And I think it's important to play to your audience, play to the community that you're serving. Hence, do local well.
You're listening to the voice of Shep Hyken. He's my guest this evening. He wrote the book, Amaze Every Customer Every Time. One lucky listener is going to win an autographed copy. All you have to do is send a text to 66866, put in the word bottom line, and you're automatically entered to win a copy. Everyone else, you're not a loser. You'll be a winner by buying his book, and you'll treat your customers right. Again, the name of the book is Amaze Every Customer Every Time. It's available at bookstores nationwide and, of course, at Barnes & Noble and Amazon. We're going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned.
Author, radio host, and president of Bottom Line Marketing Group, Yitzhak Saflis, has written the essential book for the success-driven, fast-paced professional. So, What's the Bottom Line? Is a must-read for marketing your business and building your personal brand. Former U.S. Congressman and media executive Bob Turner describes So, What's the Bottom Line? As a compass to guide the experienced executive or marketing novice through any step in planning or organizing a selling strategy. So, What's the Bottom Line? Is available now on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and bookstores nationwide. Get your copy today.
Your company website is crucial to your success, providing information about your company to the entire world. Was your website recently updated? Is it mobile friendly? And does it have the 2016 look? Well, look no further than websitewithbrains.com, the complete website solution. Call Website with Brains today at 718-412-3500. That's 718-412-3500, or visit websitewithbrains.com.
And we're back. Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis right here on 77 WABC and around the world at wabcbizradio.com. My guest this evening, Shep Hyken. He is the Chief Amazement Officer at Shepherd Presentations. You could find out a lot more about him. In fact, if you're looking for a great speaker, I've seen him speak. He is an amazing speaker. ShepHyken.com, S-H-E-P as in Peter, Hyken, H-Y-K-E-N.com. That's where you'll find out more information about Shep. He also wrote the book, Amaze Every Customer Every Time. He's a New York Times and a Wall Street Journal best-selling author, so his book has tremendous value. The subtitle, 52 Tools for Delivering the Most Amazing Customer Service on the Planet. Well, one lucky listener is going to win a copy. All you have to do is send a text to 66866, put in the word bottom line as one word, and you're automatically entered to win his book. Otherwise, it's available at Barnes & Noble, Amazon, and at bookstores nationwide. Let's get to a couple of questions that we have in the remaining few minutes. You talk about being both external, meaning those you pay money to directly, meaning those who pay you money, and then internal, meaning colleagues who work with you. How should a business really balance both?
So the concept of a customer-focused organization is that they don't just focus on outside customers, they focus on internal customers as well. Right. And everybody knows what an outside customer is. You just said it's somebody that pays for goods and services. Right. But many people are confused as to what the internal customer is. And all you need to do is say, hey, is there anybody in my company that depends on me for anything? Anything. So I have a very small organization, and even just my personal assistant, if I don't give him the tools that he needs to do his job, he can't do an effective job for me, and vice versa. If he didn't tell me, hey, you've got an interview with Hitchcock gone in 15 minutes, right. You better be ready. And, you know, yesterday he gave me what the questions were going to be, and right. We prepped. If he didn't do that for me, I wouldn't be able to do my job effectively. So in a sense, we're both each other's customers at any given time. Right. But somebody in your organization depends on you for something. And we talked at the beginning of the hour about Jan Carlson and the moments of truth concept. Right. And he had a great line. He said, if you're not dealing directly with an outside customer, you're probably supporting somebody that is.
Right.
And even if it's a deeper level than that, you're supporting somebody that is who's supporting somebody that is, there could be a couple, three people between you and your, outside customer. But think about it this way. Jan Carlson ran an airline. If I check my bag at the curb in St. Louis, Missouri, and it goes down the conveyor belt, and I see it 3 hours later in New York City or wherever I land, and it's on the carousel, 15 minutes after I land, there's a lot of people that touched that bag that I never saw that made sure it got to where it was supposed to go. And maybe the guy who took my bag, well, he was frontline focused, but if he didn't put the right tag on it, when it got down to the bottom of that conveyor belt, his internal customer would have put it on the wrong cart and put it on the wrong plane.
Right.
Does that make sense? So that's the internal customer, depending upon you for anything inside your company.
And every single person on the chain has to think about that customer. It's amazing. However removed they are, they have to be focused on that one customer, right? There's the frontline people. Such a great perspective.
We journey map a customer's experience. And at the top of the line is the frontline experience. And every interaction that happens, it's real easy to say, oh, yeah. And again, the airline business, right. They make a reservation. They check their bag at the curb. They check it at the ticket counter. They go to the airport or to their gate, right. And they're checked in by the gate agent. The flight attendant takes care of them. This chain of events. But then underneath that, there's something. So, we call those frontline touch points, right. And underneath what's happening behind the scenes are impact points in every single department, which means basically everybody in a department has some impact on that customer. And by the way, it said that if you don't have impact on the customer, you may not have a job ultimately, because what's the purpose of having you there if you're not supporting the company, which ultimately their goal is to create a relationship with the customer that's ideally a positive long-term relationship. So impact points are just as important as those frontline touch points.
Now, this may be an obvious question to some, but do you recommend that companies conduct ongoing training to improve their customer service?
I love when they do that. because that's what we do. We provide that. You know, in addition to the speech mm-hmm. that you saw and the different speaking engagements I have, we have a number of trainers that work with us, and we have our online training. But here's the point. Everybody thinks customer service training, it's soft skill. We'll just teach them, and when they onboard, we'll give them a little course on service, maybe an hour long, and they get it. Not true. It needs to be reinforced over and over again, and it doesn't matter if it's customer service training or any type of training. Even if a company, and this is why I wrote this book, you know, Amaze Every Customer, there's 52 tools in there. You know, you can do a full-blown training program and then take this book and once a week for the next 52 weeks, hit on one of these tools. And by the way I've structured it is it takes 5 minutes for people to read the chapter, look at the exercises of each of these 52 tools, and, you know, think about it. And then they can meet at a team meeting, and they could just spend 3 to 5 minutes talking about, you know, why is this one important to us and how do we deal with it? So I think, you know, training isn't something that you did. It's something that you do. It's ongoing.
Great. Great perspective. In fact, I also want to just encourage the listeners. A number of weeks ago, we had Dr. Adrienne Boise. She's the Chief Experience Officer at the Cleveland Clinic. She talked about how she took 40,000 employees offline for a half a day to give training on interaction, proper interaction with clients and unfortunately patients in unfortunate circumstances at the Cleveland Clinic. Pretty amazing interview we had a number of weeks ago.
Starbucks did the same thing, by the way. They shut down their stores for in the middle of an afternoon and conducted, you know, worldwide training on the customer experience. And they did the same thing with the baristas for the or baristas or whatever they call them on, you know, how to prepare the perfect cup of coffee. But the point is that Schultz, their CEO, mm-hmm. felt that it was important enough to shut revenue down for a period of time to make sure that they deliver the right experience.
Wow. Another question, and I know this came up at the top of the show, and again, if you're just tuning in now, I don't know where you were the last 45, 50 minutes, but you missed an incredible presentation. But good news, it will be available at WABCBizRadio.com in a couple of days. WABCBizRadio.com. All the past shows, and including this one, will be are available, and this one will be available in a few days. How should a company leverage data to understand its customers and create a customized experience, for example, like the ice cream company?
Yeah, you know, how do you leverage the data? Well, first you have to have a way to collect it. So one of the simplest ways is just to ask. I love a really simplistic type of survey. I want to know what the thinking is behind it. There's something out there called the Net Promoter Score, NPS, which is a simple question. On a scale of 1 to 10, what's the likelihood that you would refer us to a friend, a colleague, whatever? If somebody's going to give you a 9 or a 10, they're pretty likely to refer you. That means they're happy, you know. And I would follow up with really an open-ended question. It's real simple. It's one word, why? If you want to get wordy, you can say, why did you give us that score? By the way, if it's good or if it's bad, you still want that answer, right?
Right.
It's feedback. I also love a real simple question. I call it the one thing question. You can modify it based on what one thing you want to learn about. But if you ask, what's the one thing you can think of that would make doing business with us even better? You know, you can get specific. What's the one thing you could think that would make this product function even better? But the one thing question gives you one piece of data, and you focus on a, you know, good number of people to get a good sample of feedback, and then you do something with it. Feedback and data without any implementation is just a waste of time.
Right.
So with the ice cream example, obviously mm-hmm. works. How about if you owned a hotel? And I think I used this example too in the speech. You know, I check into a hotel, and as soon as they see it's me and they pull up my name, they don't say, well, hello, welcome to the hotel. I've been there before. They say, welcome back to our hotel. Hey, did you like the room that you were in the last time? Because I've got that room available. Really? Cool. I love that room. And you know what else? They gave me the right pillow because, and I'm just making this up,
right.
I don't have an allergy to a pillow, but if I did, that would be in the record and they would say, by the way, we're going to swap out the pillows for you tonight so you get that non-allergy foam pillow or whatever. And they also know that I like mints, so they put extra mints on the pillow. How do they know? Because the housekeeper noticed all the mints were gone and made a note in my record for the next time. Make sure you put extra mints on the pillow. He likes chocolate mints.
People
pretty cool.
And people think that this stuff is insignificant, and how wrong they are. How wrong they are.
Oh, man. Yeah, sometimes it's the little things that make the big difference.
Yes. Shep, oh, I can't believe it. We're approaching the close. Ah, the time went too fast. I can't.
I'm already missing you.
Oh, thank you. Well, we're going to do it again. So that I could give you my word. I can't thank you enough for joining me here in this edition of Mind Your Business. Any final closing thoughts?
Well, I'd have to say one of the most favorite lines that I have is that customer service is not a department. It's not just the front line. It's a philosophy that needs to be embraced by everybody, from the owner or CEO of a company to its most recently hired employee and everybody in between. Everybody has a customer, internal or external, and what's happening on the inside of a company is felt on the outside. So recognize this. It is a philosophy, not a department.
Great words from Shep Hyken. He wrote the book, Amaze Every Customer Every Time. One lucky winner is going to win an autographed copy. All you have to do is send a text to 66866. Put in the word bottom line as one word, and you're automatically entered to win. Everyone else, you'll also be a winner by buying this book, incredible book, Amaze Every Customer Every Time by Shep Hyken. Shep, thank you so much for joining me here.
Honor and pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
Well, that brings a close another great edition of Mind Your Business. Stay tuned for John Batchelor up next on 77 WABC, and tune in again next Sunday night for another great edition of Mind Your Business right here on 77 WABC.
77 WABC Radio presents Mind Your Business, hosted by founder and president of Bottom Line Marketing Group, Yitzhak Saflis. Mind Your Business focuses on business and marketing strategies for success. Tune in every Sunday night from 11 until 12 for this intriguing weekly radio show that's chock full of business insights and marketing strategies that will help you get ahead of the game. Host Yitzhak Saflis has been producing pioneering and creative marketing work for over two decades. He leads a team of marketing experts who help their clients build their brands and grow their businesses. Now, he and his guests offer their business and marketing expertise to you every Sunday night from 11 until midnight on Mind Your Business.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.